For this evening, I'd like to read from the book of Exodus, chapter number 1. Exodus, chapter number 1. I would also like to read the last three verses of chapter 2 as well. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sifra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Skipping down to verse 23 of chapter 2. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. May God bless the reading of his word. The Bible records that the children of Israel were in Egypt for 430 years, to the day. To the exact day, they were in Egypt for 430 years. That's quite a long time. To give a little perspective of that, that's about the same time frame as when the first European settlers arrived in Jamestown and established the first settlement in America until this day. It's about 430 years, pretty close. And so it's a long time. that the children of Israel were in a foreign land, in a foreign nation, and yet they kept their identity. Yet they were known as the Hebrew people. Yet they were known as the children of Israel. And during that time, the Bible here records, and this king records, that they grew mighty, and they were even more mighty and more in number than the Egyptians were. And so the king of Egypt responds to this fears that he has, to this fear he has of the children of Israel, with oppression. And he mightily oppressed the children of Israel, and they made their labors to be difficult and hard. And we read that here in verses 11, 12, 13, and 14 of chapter 1 of Exodus. The children of Israel, the king of Egypt had the Egyptians to set over the children of Israel taskmasters to afflict them in their burdens. And so it was a very difficult time now for the children of Israel within Egypt. Certainly over those 430 years, there were some good times, and there were some times that were well for them. But now at this latter stage, as these years are coming to a close, that the children of Israel are in Egypt, it's a time of great oppression. It's a time of great bondage. It was a time of affliction. And they groaned in this. And so what was set over them were taskmasters to afflict them in their burdens. And they were afflicted more and more. And yet, as they were afflicted more and more, they multiplied and grew. And it says that the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. So it wasn't just simply that they were slaves, they were commanded to do something, but it was with rigor. They were held to work even harder and harder yet. Their taskmasters weighed heavily on them. And they made their lives to be bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. It was a difficult time for the children of Israel. It says their lives were bitter with hard bondage. I want us to remember that phrase from the scriptures here this evening. Their lives were made bitter with hard bondage. It was very difficult for them. They were essentially now being held in Egypt against their will. They were hostages in the land of Egypt. They were made to labor. They were made to work. And the oppression and the affliction that was set upon them was grievous. It was very difficult. If we can just imagine for a moment the difficulty that they experienced as they were slaves, essentially, in Egypt. How they built cities. How their tools probably weren't the best. How their sleeping arrangements probably weren't the best. If they were grown and exceeding multiplied, that means that they were crammed in together. They probably lacked privacy and personal space. It was certainly very, very difficult for them. And they groaned because of it. It was very difficult for them. When Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go, that we may go into the wilderness and worship," the king responded with yet more oppression. And he told the taskmasters, he says, "Don't give them straw anymore to make brick as you did before, but let them go get their own straw, but yet let not the number of bricks that they make diminish. Let that number of bricks that they need to make, let that number hold, but let them now go out and get their own straw to make their brick, because they're being idle. They're crying, 'Let us go into the, let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" And they said, let their more work be laid upon them, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Again, it's just an extremely difficult time for the children of Israel. They were in affliction. They were oppressed. They were in bondage. And Moses came to them and spoke to them some words that he heard from the Lord. And you know their response to it was that They hearkened not unto Moses for the anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. It was that difficult for them. It was that oppressive for them. They heard good words. They heard words from Moses that he heard from the Lord, and they couldn't even hear it. They were just in such anguish of spirit for this cruel bondage that they were in. And then we read here at the end of chapter 2 that one king dies, and perhaps they're thinking, oh, this king, he's gone now. And they just start to cry out to the Lord. And they cried out to the Lord, and their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage. They were in such great bondage, and their cry came unto the Lord. And it says that the Lord heard their groaning. The Lord heard them. He understood their groaning. And he remembered his covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And so there was mercy. There was mercy. There was great mercy that the Lord had. As they cried out to the Lord in this cruel bondage that they had, as their lives were bitter with hard bondage. They experience now the mercy of the Lord. And there's a verse in Psalms that speaks to this mercy just beautifully and yet very simply as well. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." The children of Israel called upon the Lord. They were in bondage, and they were in that affliction. Their lives were bitter with hard bondage, and they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them. And he is good, and he was ready to forgive, and he was plenteous in mercy, and he showed that mercy unto them. God could have, at this point, simply heard their cry and took the children of Israel, that great multitude, and just transported them and just brought them into the land of Canaan. He could have done that, and he could have done it quickly. But he chose not to. He chose to take a different route. The Lord God chose to take a route that would reveal to the children of Israel his immense power, and how they need to wait upon the Lord. And so it is in our life also often, is that sometimes when we're in a bondage or an affliction, that we simply need to wait upon the Lord and wait to see his great power and his great glory that he showed. And so it was that God did show his power as he turned the rivers into blood, as he brought frogs upon the land of Egypt, as he brought lice, as he brought flies, as he brought boils, and all the other plagues that came, the children of Israel and the people of Egypt also saw the power of God in his glory. And then finally came the time when there was the Passover, that great miracle that God did. God did these things, and he redeemed them. And with his arm, he made them to be saved from that bondage. The Lord came to Moses, and he says, "I am the Lord." He says, "I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you unto me for a people, and I will be unto you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." God told Moses, and he says, "Go tell my people these things." And interspersed in this message that he has in the beginning and at the end, and interspersed within this message, he says, I am the Lord. But not only does he say, I am the Lord, he says, I will deliver you. I have the power to do that, and I will deliver you. And so Moses brings that message to them. And so the Lord does. He delivers them. And we know the story of the Passover and how the Red Sea parted and how they hasted to go out. And we read in chapter 12 that that the king of Egypt says to Moses, he goes, take your flocks and your herds as ye have says, and be gone and bless me also. He said, be gone, get out of the land. And it says, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. So they saw the power of God. They saw how God with a high arm had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And the Red Seas parted. And the children of Israel passed through when the Egyptians tried to do as well, the water swallowed them up. And so Moses says unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Moses is reminding them, the Lord brought you out of this place. You didn't do it of yourself. You didn't do it of yourself. You didn't outwit the king. You and the multitude of your people didn't overtake the Egyptians. You didn't do it yourself. The Lord, with a high arm, with the strength of his arm, delivered you out from this place and brought you out. Moses also says, and it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto them, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt and from the house of bondage. Tell your children, the Lord brought us out. Tell your children, the Lord delivered us. Tell your children, the Lord redeemed us with his high arm, with the strength of his power. He did these things. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day, 430 years later, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. The Egyptians witnessed it. The children of Israel witnessed it, that the Egyptians were dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. This was a great time. This was very impactful upon the children of Israel. They always remembered it and even remember it to this day, and hold the feast of Passover even yet unto this day. It was very impactful, this time of bondage that they were in, this time when their lives were bitter with hard bondage. It was very impactful on them. And it was very impactful, and it was wonderful to see the power of the Lord redeem them, deliver them with his mighty arm. It was very impactful. But yet when we consider the arc of eternity, it was just a blip in time. It's really not even notable when you consider it across the arc of eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, and from forever to forever. But there is something that is impactful and consequential in regards to spiritual bondage and spiritual liberty or spiritual freedom that we can have in the Lord. The decisions that we make impact whether we are in the gall of bitterness and our lives are bitter with hard bondage, the bondage of sin, or if we are free in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said these words, and they are true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Is the servant of sin. Just as the children of Israel were servants to the taskmasters of the Egyptians, Jesus Christ is saying, if you commit sin, you are a servant of it. You are held in bondage of that sin. You are held as a hostage to sin. You cannot escape it. You cannot do it of yourself, neither as the children of Israel were able to escape out of the land of Egypt. And so Jesus Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You are in spiritual bondage, and you will remain there until you ask for the power of the Lord in your heart and in your life. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, he writes, even so we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Just as the children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians, we in our sinful states are held in bondage to the elements of the world. To the elements of the world. To those things which belong to this world. To the lust of the flesh, to the lust of the eye, to the pride of life. These things are of the world, the Bible says. And the world will pass away. And all those who are held in bondage to those things will pass away likewise. And there are eternal consequences there, not as it was with the children of Israel. My friend, outside of Christ, this weekend, Lord willing, there'll be a baptism. And yet there was just yet another opportunity for you to be included likewise. You can free yourself from this bondage of sin. You no longer have to be a servant of sin. You no longer have to be held in hostage unto Satan. Are you tired of his lies? Do you recognize the deceit of Satan? Do you see it for what it is? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Are you tired of thinking about the pride in your life? Are you tired of always having the attention, having to be on yourself? Are you tired of sin? There is freedom from sin. And just as it was for the children of Israel, it took God to remove them out of that land. It took him with his high and mighty arm and with his strength to remove them from that land. And only the Lord can remove you from the bondage of sin. We know these things to be true. We've read it in the Bible. We've been in Sunday school. We've heard it in the sanctuary over and over. We can be redeemed. We can be bought back. We can have spiritual liberty that has eternal consequences if we turn to the Lord. Jesus, a couple of verses after he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. 2 verses later, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus can make you free, that you no longer have to be in bondage, that you no longer have to be a slave of Satan's, that you no longer have to fulfill the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We can be free. We can be free from sin, and that eternally. We can have a home in heaven above. We can be with him throughout all eternity. You know, the children of Israel, they were freed from Egypt. They were freed from that bondage. And they wandered about in the wilderness. And they came to what? To the land of Canaan. Yeah, it was a good land. Yeah, it was described as the land that flows with milk and honey. Yes, it was good, but it was temporal. There was still work that they had to do. They still had to work by the sweat of their brow. There was still going to be trouble. There was still going to be tribulations and anguish and sin that they had to deal with and sacrifices that would have to be made for their sin. But if we are free in Christ, if we are free in Him, then we no longer have to worry about anything of this world and know that we have an eternity with God. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1 writes these words. That we are strengthened with all might. We are strengthened with all might. Whose might? According to his glorious power. Just as the children of Israel saw the power of God through the plagues and through the Passover and through the parting of the Red Sea and all the miracles that happened in the wilderness, that power, the Apostle Paul here is saying, we can be strengthened with that power, with that might, according to his glorious power, that it would not be of our power, but it would be the power that comes from on high, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We can be partakers of the inheritance. We can be partakers of an inheritance that's far greater than the land of Canaan. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven, and it's waiting for us. It fades not away. It's eternal in the heavens. That's the inheritance that's ours. This is the freedom that we can have, the freedom that we can have in Christ. As we yield ourselves to Him, as we do what the children of Israel did, here as we read in the last verses of chapter 2, it says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by the reason of their bondage." And in your sin, you can cry out to God and tell Him that you're tired of this sin, tired of the deception of Satan, tired of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Tired of all these things. And you can bring your cries unto God by the reason of your bondage, the heavy, bitter bondage that one experiences in this life of sin. And God heard their groanings. And God will hear your groanings. And God will wondrously respond and provide for you, because He is gracious. The Lord is good, plenteous in mercy. He will forgive if we cry out to Him and repent of our sins and turn our lives unto Him. We will have something far glorious than what the children of Israel received. Continuing on here in Colossians, he says, "Who delivered us from the power of darkness." Just as God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, God delivers us from the power of darkness. That we no longer have to be underneath the power of Satan, that we can be translated from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And here he's saying, he delivers us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Into the kingdom of his dear Son. The children of Israel went from the kingdom of Egypt to the land of Canaan. We think that's great, but that's a small deal compared to what the Lord here is telling us. He's translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. We're redeemed. We're brought back. We're brought out of a hostage state. A ransom has been paid for us that we can be redeemed, that we can be brought to this freedom, and we can have this spiritual freedom in Christ. And it happens through his blood, and we can have even the forgiveness of sins. This is what we can have from the Lord. This is what the Lord wants for us. He desires that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. And it was so much his desire that he gave his only begotten Son that it might happen. It cost God a lot that we might be saved, that we might be redeemed. that our lives no longer have to be burdened with the heavy bondage of sin, but that we can be redeemed, that we could be brought back, that we could be made free by the power of Jesus Christ. This is the plan of salvation. This has eternal consequences. This is freeing. We don't have to listen to the lies of Satan anymore. We don't have to be deceived by him. We can be free. We can call out to the Lord and know that he will hear us, and he will save us with his strong and mighty arm. He will redeem us by the power of Jesus' blood. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
The book of Exodus is so vivid and gives literal picture forms for us to see and understand that it is a book of deliverance, of redemption, and so applicable to us today as we read of God delivering the nation of Israel out of the house of bondage. And it's not something, deliverance or redemption, it's not something to just be taken flippantly, just, but as we see two women here who God gave a name in Israel to, because they didn't follow the king. This is the king in whom is absolute power. These are fearless men whom all power is given to, who are evil, who have no good in them. And he commands, because even under slavery, God was still blessing the nation of Israel, and the numbers kept multiplying, and he wants the every man child to be killed. And these women said they did not because they feared God. And so it takes the fear of God in order to be able to stand up against tyrants at a cost of one's own life. God spared these two women, but we see that through their disobedience of the king and obedience unto God, we continue to see that continue to take place, and God brought up Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And so it is today. We have to fear God in order to be able to make any progress. We try to picture today a king who, a ruler who has no fear of God at all or of man, and to make a commandment to you and to me today that you must do this or this, and we know we are breaking the commandment of God in doing so. If we disobey him, he could take our life. And there's no struggle here. They just said the women feared God, and they wouldn't obey the king. Where is our faith? Is our faith that deep in our God that we completely disregard what a man will say if it contradicts what God is teaching us? It may not be in the killing of a baby. It could be in something else. But if it's a commandment to break the law of God, it says the fear of God has to rise up. And we see that when God, as he took this people of nation of Israel out of Egypt, as he takes us out of the bondage of sin, that's his promise, his redemption, his deliverance from ourselves, from sin, from lusts, and from the world, and from Satan himself. He gives this people in the delivering of the commandments. God says, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before thee." And he goes on and he gives them the commandments. We've been given those same commandments, dear ones. We know we've been shown by God himself through his word who Jesus is, what his commands are. And because he has delivered us out, he is saying unto us, in order to keep us, we must obey him. We must fear him and serve him. And deliverance is guaranteed. Redemption is guaranteed when we submit ourselves into the fear of God, unto him. And so let's study in the entire book of Exodus, in our studies at home, and really see the stubbornness of many of the Israelites and how they disobeyed God and where it led them to, and those who obeyed and the blessings that they received in obedience. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.